This audio may have contained the personal testimonials of some OptaVia coaches or clients of OptaVia. The results relayed in these messages are based on the unique experiences of the participants, and we cannot guarantee like or similar outcomes. While you may be inspired by these accounts, please note that any stories of success have not been verified and your individual path to optimal health will vary. As always, it is our recommendation that you consult with a healthcare provider before starting a weight loss program. Yours in health, the OptaVia team.
So certified OptaVia coaches, and are very happy to be here with you tonight. This call is for all our current and potential OptaVia clients, coaches, and health professionals, and it will last for 30 minutes. It's designed to be interactive, where you can ask questions and get answers from health professionals right away. Please keep in mind that we do our best to answer your questions, but we also encourage you to contact your personal healthcare provider, as they are an important part of your transformation and your personal health journey, especially if you're taking any medications or have any medical considerations. We'd love to begin by hearing from a few of you who are on the line joining us tonight. Then Dr. Childs will share a quick health tip for this week, and then we'll get right to the Q&A portion of our call. So let's get started. If you'd like to say hello, just hit *6 on your phone to unmute. Share your first name, where you're from, and your success so far with our program. Then please remember to *6 your phone again so we can keep the lines clear. So here we go. Who's out there tonight?
Hi there. This is Linda, Sue, and Andrea. We're with Jan Paxman and Jamil Frazier in Salt Lake City, Utah for a big training event.
I love that you joined.
So between the three of us, we've lost tons of weight. I don't even know how much. We haven't calculated it, but we're all 150 pounds.
Yeah.
Maybe 170. Oh. More than a human.
Congratulations, and thank you.
That's amazing.
So we wish good luck to everybody on this line, and pay attention, and everybody come back.
You're going to do great.
Thank you.
Hi, Jan. We know Jan's listening, so we want to just say hey.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Who else is out there? You got to top that one. They lost 150 pounds. No. Who's out there? Hello.
Hello. This is Pat, and I lost 70 pounds over 12 years ago.
Hey, Orlando. Pat, thank you. That's incredible. Wow, thank you. And I'm so glad to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's always good. They're always good to be here. And I
thank
hope
you.
That gang in Salt Lake City is having a good time. We're doing pretty good here in Florida, right, Cheryl?
Wait.
Yes, right. I had myself muted.
A little delay there.
I love it.
Well, that's okay.
I love
we
it. I'll chime in. Thank you. I'll chime in. I'm 40 pounds 7 years ago, which every time I say it, I actually giggle. So who knew? Who else is out there that likes to share?
Hi, this is Venice. I'm from South Jersey. I lost 40 pounds over 3 years ago, and I've been paying it forward since that time.
Congratulations. Thank you for sharing. Really. And isn't that the most fun?
It is. It is. Feeling as great as I do and having other people come back, it's just so rewarding, and I wish everybody would pay it forward.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Denise from Jersey. We're neighbors, actually. I'm in New York. Who else is out there?
This is Brenda. I'm from a little town in Melrose, Florida.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, and I'm on my first week. I just finished 7 days. I'm just lost under 9 pounds and 5 inches.
Oh, my gosh. Results not typical, But congratulations. Wow,
yes,
so you're feeling pretty inspired, right?
Yes, I love it. It's awesome.
Thank
and
you
I
so
have
much
more
for
energy,
sharing,
I
thank
feel
you.
Better and everything.
Right? Thank you for sharing. And thank congratulations.
You.
And that you joined the call is a double win.
Thank you.
Hello? All right. Thank you. I hear somebody else there.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm, is it star 86? Am I on?
You got it. It's star 86.
Okay.
And you're in.
All right, my name is Michelle. I'm from Glen Allen, Virginia, and I lost 60 pounds 2.5 years ago, which from that point forward, I've been helping other people as well, paying it forward. And it's definitely been a blessing in my life to see other people succeed. But I do have a question from a current client that I was curious if can I go ahead and share that now or?
Well, actually, let's finish opening up, and then we'll open it up to questions in just a couple of minutes, okay? So hold that thought. Great. Thank you. Anybody else want to share with us where they're from and who and their success? Anybody else?
I
feel like somebody's talking, but we're not. Oh, hi. Say it again.
Yeah. Oh, I'm good, you know, and I just got to talk to the husband or whatever, get my money together, or no, I'm ready to go. Awesome.
Little hard to hear.
Sounds like that might have been another sideline conversation, Miriam. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So, Dr. Charles, take it away, girl.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, a little teaching point for tonight. I always look up to see what the health theme is. There, every month, you know, there are different health-related themes. I don't know who decides these things, but this turns out November is Diabetes Month, which, you know, that's pretty appropriate because I have always felt that this program, and I tell my clients this program was literally made in heaven for diabetics. Every coach on this line who has ever worked with anybody with diabetes knows how well it works for those people and how the results, the weight loss that they experience. You know, there are a lot of physicians out there who they just have never had a tool to be able to teach people how to, you know, how to really manage their lifestyle so they don't see those results. And I also am aware of many doctors who are just surprised and shocked at the results that their patients, you know, coming off drugs when they get, you know, again, when their weight comes off and coming, A1C's improving and all of that kind of thing. But I'll talk a little bit more about that, but I thought I'd just give a few little fun facts, if facts about diabetes can be considered fun, I don't know. But just to kind of put this into perspective, from the CDC, there are, and it's an emergency. It's a national emergency and becoming a global emergency. 30.3 million people in the United States have diabetes. That's almost 10%. One out of every 10 people, 9.4% of the U.S. population. And 23.1 million of those are diagnosed, leaving about 23.8% of people with diabetes are actually undiagnosed. So that's kind of a scary thing. 34%, get a load of this, 34% of U.S. adult population has pre-diabetes, meaning they have blood sugars that are in a borderline range, and if they don't make steps to change, they're very likely going to go develop into full-blown type 2 diabetes. Cost of healthcare for people with diabetes is 2.3 times greater for those people with diabetes than those who do not have it. Diabetes care causes more deaths per year than breast cancer and AIDS combined. Having diabetes nearly doubles your chance of having a heart attack. So there are a lot of other, you know, especially heart diseases and so forth that are more likely when people have diabetes. So a lot of people know that diabetes and weight are connected. They really are. In fact, if you go to the CDC and look at the incidence maps of the United States and you look at the obesity rate map and you look at the diabetes map, they overlap. They look like you couldn't tell them apart, basically. But there's more risk factors than just overweight. There are some people who are not overweight who develop type 2, or what we call adult onset diabetes, which, by the way, used to be called just that was the name of it, adult onset, but now we see younger and younger people with type 2 diabetes, so we don't call it that anymore. But some other risk factors are lack of physical activity. We know that physical activity increases glucose receptors on muscle fibers, the number of them. So people can improve their insulin sensitivity by physical activity and growing muscle. Family history, there's genetics that does play a role, ethnicity and age. And there is an association between genetics, but I want to just briefly mention, too, there's a recent study showing 40% decreased risk of illness if people work on their lifestyle, even with genetic predispositions. And I read something, a really fun, interesting description of how this works. It's called epigenetics, which means around the gene. And it was a great little analogy. It's like the soup that surrounds the gene that can cause it to be expressed or not expressed, or tend to be expressed or not expressed. And we are the chefs that make the soup. So we have control over the soup that surrounds and bathes, basically, these genes in either something that's a soup that's healthy and going to tend to decrease the incidence of expression of a particular genetic mutation, or increase the risk of its expression. So I thought that was an interesting way to look at it. So again, you know, what we teach people in this program, how they learn about managing their sugar. Sugary drinks is causing so much diabetes. It really increases insulin resistance and then diabetes rates. And learning to manage your sugar-insulin balance, Dr. Anderson in the Habits of Health books stresses that's the key to weight management, to health. And we go into that so much in learning how to do that. It's such a powerful thing for helping people with diabetes improve their health, as well as preventing it. And Miriam, I would just love to hear basically how you, I'm sure you've been doing this a long time too. You have a lot of experience with patients with diabetes. I'm going to guess it's been largely positive, would you say?
It's tough. I have a question.
Hi there. Go for it.
Okay. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, I guess, probably more than a year and a half ago or something. My numbers aren't really big, which is very good. I mean, I'm below 7, so it's not horrible. It's like 6.6 or something. If you know anything about that, I think it starts at 6.5, you have diabetes. That's an A1C rating. If you have 6.5, you have diabetes. So I was 6.6 or 6.7. So it wasn't horrible. I was just going to say that I was put the thing that I found difficult. I was on this diet before. It wasn't called OptiVia. It was called Metafast. And I was able, and at that time I was able to do the 5-in-1. But I've since discovered with the diabetes probably I can't do 5-in-1 because my blood sugar just dropped.
Wow. There's a little bit of noise on the line. Can somebody hit *6, except for the caller that's speaking? Thank you. I have a question. Pardon me?
I just want to finish my thought.
Please.
I went on the 4-2-1. You know, four fuelings, two meals, and one snack.
One snack.
And that seems to be answering, you know, that seems to be doing the trick. So.
Okay.
Well, I have, go ahead. Do you want to take that, Miriam?
No, go for it. You're going to ask the same question as Abby.
What's your name? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
Patty,
thank you. Are you on medications for diabetes, love?
I was. Originally, but I feel like with doing that form, and I don't, you know, I was talking to my endocrinologist, And I just feel like I don't really need to be on metformin anymore.
Well, congratulations.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have any other questions?
I do have a question.
Go for
it's not
it.
Related to diabetes, though. I have a
That's
client
okay.
that was curious about when they wake up or get up that they get their first fueling in. You know, in other words, like they wake up in the morning, but they might stay in the bed, read a book for about an hour. You know, maybe you'd be on their phone. And so they're wondering, you know, when that first fueling does count. In other words, when they physically get out of the bed or when they've just woken up.
So it's really a wake-up thing. It's not an out-of-bed thing. I mean, if you're going to roll over and go back to sleep, I guess that's a different question. But it sounds like she's really up. She's just not getting off the bed, but it sounds like she's really awake. So one of the
yeah.
things, a lot of clients take a fueling and a water bottle up to bed with them so they can have it first thing in the morning.
Okay. Well, and that's pretty much what I had suggested to her, because I sort of said the same thing. I said, it does sound like you're actively awake, even though you haven't physically gotten out of the bed. But that's why I wanted to double check with what I was, you know, the information I was giving her. And I said, actually, there's the nurse call on tonight. Maybe I'll get on and check.
There you go. Really good move. But yeah, and again, it's to just help her body get started for the day. You know, we haven't eaten or fueled for so many hours, so it's a good practice to just, well, it's a good practice to get up and go, but it's a really good practice to get up and fuel.
Okay. So again, if she's laying in bed, but she obviously is awake, she's not going back to sleep, then she does need to start her time clock there to eat within that first half hour to an hour.
I would think so. And and she'll feel the difference.
And then this, she's also noticed that her heart rate has elevated since she's started program. She does drink 3 cups of coffee, and we've talked about less calories, same caffeination, you know, obviously could, you know, increase that. Anything else that you could, we talked about her electrolytes. So I was just curious on your take if there would be anything else that could be doing it. Because sometimes it's even sometimes during the day that she's having these elevated heart rate.
Wow. Dr. Child?
Yeah, I've never heard that.
Elevated heart rate?
Yeah, it's not associated with her coffee drinking, and it happens just randomly. There are so many questions I would have for her. You know, is it a pounding sensation in her chest? Is it something that gets her attention? Or should she just check her pulse and notice that her heart rate is a little high?
Yeah, I'm almost thinking, I haven't asked those specific questions, but I almost think it's that she might be wearing like a Fitbit kind of thing, and she sees her heart rate increasing.
I would say... The most likely thing is she's more active and she doesn't even realize it, because you know how people get more energy on this and when they're in fat burning, and they end up moving around more even before they start exercising. So it could just be that she's more active in general. Metabolic rate may be a little higher, so it may be higher than she's used to, especially if she was fairly sedentary before. That's my thought. Miriam, any other ideas that you might have?
No, because it's not, I don't know any reason that it would happen. Anything else change, her activity level,
yeah.
You know, it's everything that Dr. Child just hit on. I don't.
To cover all bases, tell her to tell her doctor about it. You know, especially if she's noticing a sensation of racing heart in her chest or anything like that. If it's just like, oh, look, my pulse is, you know, 80 and it's usually 70, I'm not worried about that. But anything other than that, she should probably check in with her doctor.
Okay, so probably my next question is going to be, is it like a racing heartbeat or a pounding in the chest?
Yeah, is she having symptoms associated with it, or does she just notice that it's a little higher than it used to be? And when does it happen? You know, is it happening while she's moving around or just sitting there and it suddenly starts racing? That would be something she'd want to check with her doctor about.
Yeah, she's only she's literally in her day 4, so she's just started, you know, like today would be getting into her fat burn, and she was noticing this increased heart rate almost on day 2, And she noticed it in the morning. Today when I was talking to her, she said that she noticed it in the afternoon.
So is she getting enough water?
Yes, she actually does really good on her water. Like, she's probably at 100 ounces.
Okay, no more than 100, but that's
okay.
That sounds good. I can't think of anything else, but I would just tell her to check in with her health provider. That's all.
Okay.
I mean, without being able to see her, you know, and examine her, it could be a number of things. It could be nothing, but when in doubt, just tell her to check in with her doc.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and this is the first I had heard of any kind of elevated heart rate, so that's why I was definitely wanted to see if, you know, if there
first
was anything
I've
else out there.
Too. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank y'all very much. How do I disconnect from being on the
Star six?
Okay. Because I don't want to be open and let someone, you know, I want someone else to be able to jump in. So thank you so much.
Thanks for the question and let us know. Thank you.
Uh huh.
I think we have time for one more question before we do
the
next one.
Hi. This is Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
How are you? Hello. Yeah, Stacey Phillips here. I just had just a quick comment on the elevated heart rate, just to maybe add a different kind of a perspective, is especially if she's on her first couple days. Sometimes people who have caffeine sensitivities, the program doesn't cause caffeine sensitivity, but people maybe don't know that they're caffeine sensitive, and the program
or the less calories
expose that. Yes, it can tend to expose that. So a little bit of racing heart or, you know, the jitters, those things, you know, the time of day, she just might want to think about when her last coffee was and see if it's tied to that, if she notices that, because she may be caffeine sensitive.
Good point, Stacey. Thanks.
Thanks, Stacey.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Good one. Just a note is they do suggest limiting your caffeine intake to no more than 300 milligrams, which is about 3 cups of coffee per day, because of the fewer calories, you can be more sensitive. So good point. I'm thinking we're going to wrap. So I want to thank everybody. And remember that you can subscribe to all our support calls via iTunes podcast. And the playback of tonight's call should be there within 48 hours. If you have any questions between support calls, please first connect with your coach. And for additional help, please email nutritionsupport@optavia.com. And of course, your healthcare provider is there to serve you as well. Remember, this call happens weekly every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, as does our Habits of Health webinar, which begins right now. And you definitely want to catch it. So to access the webinar, simply access Zoom by logging in to zoom.us on your computer, zoom.us, or you can download the free Zoom app on your smartphone, click join a meeting, and then enter the meeting ID 113-312-513. I'm going to repeat it, 113-312-513. And congratulations on investing some time in your health this evening. And we're thrilled you joined us. Have a great night. And thanks, Dr. Childs. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
The following audio may contain the personal testimonials of some Optavia coaches or clients of Optavia. The results relayed in these messages are based on the unique experiences of the participants, and we cannot guarantee like or similar outcomes. While you may be inspired by these accounts, please note that any stories of success have not been verified, and your individual path to optimal health will vary. As always, it is our recommendation that you consult with a healthcare provider before starting a weight loss program. Yours in health, the Optavia team.